how'd you do that magic trick? Like, I didn't even know how you did that. Can you just tell me the answer? And I'm like, no. And they're like, why not? And I'm like, it's not even just that I don't want you to know the secret. That's what everyone assumes. It's that me alleviating the tension that you feel right now, just because you don't know the answer, because that makes you feel uncomfortable, that is not a gift to you. And you think you want to know, but what I'm really taking away is this really cool emotional and intellectual journey that you get invited into mystery. And I don't want to rob you of that experience because it's incredibly beautiful. Welcome back to the Wow Level Podcast, the Wow Level Life Podcast. But sometimes I'm tempted to leave the word life out because I want this to be like the Wow Level Family Podcast, the Wow Level Relationships Podcast, the Wow Level Leadership Podcast, the Wow Level Work Podcast, which I guess is summarized with the word life. But I want all of the stuff in your life to be wow level. And if you've been paying attention and listen to this podcast somewhat regularly, you noticed we missed a couple weeks. We're back for our Afterglow episode with Kate, my go-to favorite podcast co-host of all time. And babe, why did we miss a couple of weeks?
Because our children were sick. I was sick. You were sick. I was sick again. You were sick again. I think I got sick again. Another child got sick. I went to the hospital. You know, it's just been a few things. We have had a small amount of health issues going on in our house.
Well, it has been brutal. It has been brutal. You know, it's funny because it was really depressing timing. But I saw a stat this morning that said most literally this morning as we were preparing to record this episode later today. And it said the majority of podcasts was the stat. The majority of podcasts don't make it past the 10th episode.
I read that as well. And it was heartbreaking because I thought the same thing. I was like, oh my gosh, are we going to make it? But here we are.
So to be a little transparent with you all, we're actually professionals at what we do. We have another podcast called the Story OS Podcast that's currently being relaunched. And believe it or not, that podcast is in the top 1% of podcasts in the entire world. We're very proficient at getting things done, whether that's touring or producing conferences or showing up consistently and coaching our clients or even producing amazing content like you hear here on this podcast. But despite being ahead a few episodes at a time, all these last few weeks were brutal. So as you heard, Kate, she wasn't really joking or exaggerating there. I've had the flu three times in 2024 calendar year. The first time was like the second weekend of January. I caught it. And then I got, again, a month later, flu B, just a different strand. I just now am getting over flu A. For those of you who are listening in and you're thinking about getting the flu, we highly recommend flu B. Instead of flu A, strand of flu B,
significantly different.
We highly recommend choosing that one if you're going to pick one.
B is the way to go because A is a total swift kick in the tail.
It was brutal. It was absolutely brutal. And then my round of flu A turned into bronchitis, which then right as I was like, I think I'm finally getting better, which is at like the 2 week mark, I got a freaking sinus infection that led to congestion again. My ears all closed up. And then you all of a sudden have to go to the hospital and it just felt like the perfect storm. And so all that to say, you're okay.
Yes, I am okay.
I don't want to reveal all your health challenges. You should feel
comfortable. Oh no, this is my 12th kidney stone, which to anyone who has ever had one, y'all, it is no joke. To have 12 of them in your lifetime is equally as ridiculous, but we are dealing with it and that's okay.
Yes.
I'm here.
We are dealing with it. You are on the mend. I am on the mend. And we're excited to help you level up your life and live a wow level.
Yes. Let's do it.
Let's jump in. So last week.
Sometime earlier this year.
We got to sit down with, an extraordinary human being, Jillian Farabee. Depending on your pathway to discovering this podcast, Jillian may not be a stranger to you. She has spoken at Story Conference multiple times over the years. She's one of those voices and humans that we tend to just bring in and collaborate with on a regular basis in a variety of ways. And so I was so pumped to get her on the podcast. And there's definitely some themes that we got to in that conversation that I want to get to today in this Afterglow episode. And so let's jump in. But first of all, I gushed about Jillian on the last couple episodes. Kate, this is your first time back.
Would you like me to gush about Jillian? Because
tell us what it is that you love about Jillian, because I feel like your perspective is unique and you've had a chance to interact with her in ways that are going to paint a different perspective than I perhaps have. So let's just reintroduce Jillian and the conversation we have with her here at the beginning of our conversation with each other.
Yeah. For those who aren't aware, Jillian is a powerhouse. She had many years working with Cirque du Soleil in their creative. She is a dancer. She's an artist. She is a meditation practitioner. She is a play coach. She started Kite Parade. She is just all around one of my favorite people to spend time with, because her unique perspective on the world around her is intoxicating. And I was thinking about it as we were getting ready for this episode. I was like, man, we started with Brad, who is, again, just one of my favorite humans to spend time with and be in their atmosphere. Jillian is another person who falls into that category. We were recently driving to Washington, D.C., and we were talking, hashing out some ideas. And at one point you went, I have to call Jillian. And in that moment, I know, oh, he's serious. Because when you call Jillian, you are calling because you are like, all right, give me your perspective. Tell me what are the real-time things I'm not thinking about. And her creative mind, that if there is anybody I know that does not live within any sort of boundary or box, it is Jillian Farabee. You present ideas to her and she immediately outthinks you. And it's unbelievable to be a part of, because I am married to you. So I hear your brilliance on a regular basis. But then to add Jillian's level on top of that, the way she just brings it up five notches and throws out these concepts and you're like, oh my gosh, where did that come from? And she's like, oh, I was just meditating about. She is a genius. So, I mean, if you've gushed about her, I could gush about her for a solid 10 minutes because she is that brilliant. And she has played such a huge role in not just your life, but my life kind of by default over the last 10 years that we have known her. She is a special human.
Yeah, she indeed is. The word expansive, this comes to mind. I think that
very much
one of the roles that she's played in our life and in our world and our family is that everything expands when you hang out with Jillian. And so I tend to think of myself as a visionary. A lot of other people consider me a visionary. I don't mean that in an arrogant way, because there's pros and cons that come with that. We all have strengths and weaknesses. But as much as others think that I'm a visionary, when I call Jillian and share a vision with her, she expands it and helps me realize that I was actually thinking small when I thought I was thinking big. And I think that's what this conversation did. And so it's the Wow Level Life podcast. So we obviously got into what it looks like to live a life of curiosity and wonder. I think one of the ways she does that is through her ability to play, which is, I think, very much associated with creativity, flow, childlike wonder. The phrase childlike oftentimes precedes the word wonder. And I think it's that same way with play. A lot of times we think of play as like, okay, how do we get back to a place of childlike wonder? How do we get back to a place of childlike play? Because play and wonder are both things that feel like they're associated with childhood. And yet there's a lot of voices out there that are, including here on this podcast, that are trying to say, it doesn't have to be that way. Play can feel very childish, but there's a difference between what is childish and childlike. Wonder can feel very childish, but there's a difference between what is childish and childlike. And one particular memory comes to mind. It is our summer retreat, our Poetics summer retreat, where we took one of our coaching cohorts to New York City, flew Jillian in from Montreal. And for a couple of days in this cool loft in New York, we explored our different play personalities. And I don't know about you, but out of the gate, I was just like, oh my gosh, this is too weird. I'm so glad my clients get to experience this, but there's no way I'm actually going to participate in this. This will be one of those events where I get to stand over in the back of the room and watch them go through this. I know this transformation that's going to happen. Like, I'm not doing all that stuff. That's way too weird and childish, right? Do you remember those moments?
Yes. And there were many moments where you're like, she is so not uncomfortable in this movement thing that she is asking us and inviting us all into, but I am uncomfortable watching her because, again, for her, it is her natural state. She just embraces movement. She embraces this quirky some would say weird thing where she just goes, we just have to get it out. We just have to let things be free. And that's when in your brain, you start to find yourself going, why do I struggle with this so much? I found myself sitting in a room with her, and I've been around her many times, and I still was like, gosh, why does this bug me? Like, why can I not just let go and engage in a room full of people who are doing the exact same thing?
Yeah.
I am making it weird. She's not making it weird. I am. I'm awkward.
Let's embrace the weird and awkward for the sake of, you know, reawakening that sense of curiosity and wonder in ourselves. One of the things you talked about in the conversation was how much being in that state allows us to stay open to possibilities, even in the face of obstacles, failures, and how it ends up leading to all this growth. You know, one of the things she talked about is how wonder is one of the only things that gets you to that place where we are truly available to be surprised. And I think that all connects back to the stuff we're always talking about here on this podcast, the stuff I wrote about in the book, the stuff we're always talking about on stages at our events, because we come into situations with these assumptions and presuppositions where we've already made up our mind. And I think that's what I was guilty of in New York in that experience, is that I had already made up my mind around how I felt about this, and there wasn't any growth there for me to experience, that this was for our clients, not for me. I brought Jillian in for them, not for me. And it wasn't until I truly submitted to that whimsical, childlike experience of play where I allowed my own wonder and curiosity to be stirred over the course of those couple of days. And there was so much growth that came with it.
Yeah, when I think about what Jillian was inviting everybody in the room into, it only felt weird because it was movement. I invite people when I coach them on how to write or how to get out of their own heads, like when people find themselves stuck and they go, I don't know how to say this, or I don't really know how to connect the dots on this. And I encourage them to go so far outside of the box. I'm asking them to do the same thing, but it feels more comfortable because it's words on a page versus like, I'm going to do these crazy, weird, like act like a duck movements. But what it offers is the same thing. It is get out of your own head, get out of your own preconceived, this is how it should be, this is how I should act, this is how I should think or speak, and let that go.
Yeah.
And on the other side of this, just wait for what you're going to find.
Yeah, so good. We might have to get Jillian back to do a whole conversation just on play personalities now that we sort of breached that topic.
Oh, yeah.
Those listening in, that's where I discovered my top two place personalities were competition and kinesthete. Or kinesthete, right? I forgot how you pronounce it.
Kinesthete, yeah.
Yeah, kinesthete. And that unlocked so much clarity for me, understanding like, oh, I achieve creative flow and output and productivity most regularly if I am participating in the type of work that allow me to connect with those two play personalities. Super cool. So there's a whole bunch of them. We might have to have another conversation about that. Do you remember what yours were, just out of curiosity?
One of them was competition. I don't remember what the second one was, but it was one that kind of felt out of left field. But as she broke it down, I went, oh, yeah, that's me. Yeah. It might have been collector or something like that. I don't remember.
Yes.
But I remember going, oh, that doesn't feel like me. And then she described it and I was like, oh, that's totally me. Dang it.
So good. There was a lot of surprise happening for a lot of people in the room that day. Yeah, very cool. One of the themes I should say that emerged from that conversation was this idea of embracing originality and potential in others. And I think that experience from her is colored by all the years she spent working in casting as a casting director at Cirque du Soleil, and her ability to just see the extraordinary and the originality in performers, and sometimes even extraordinary talent and originality that person didn't even bring to the table in their audition, but that she knew was there, and her ability to see what they didn't even put on display and to be able to both pull that out of them or help a director see it when a director couldn't see it, so that she could help them understand this truly is the right act for this particular part in this artistic presentation. But she was amazing at that. And I know there's a lot of non-parents listening in, but you know, when she talked about the way that she does this, it reminded me of kind of some of this things that we're seeing in our kids right now, particularly in Milo. She talked about how passion and originality are so important and how those two things, those are things that you tend to be able to see before the skill has caught up. And the people who show up after they've been chosen, they tend to be more collaborative and group-oriented people because the act of choosing them or saying, hey, you got the gig, it made them feel included. And so they start to show up. When I think about passion and originality as a glimpse into who someone is, I think about the way that Milo is engaging with her imagination right now. You and I have been talking about that on a regular basis.
Yes. She is five, for those who don't know. She is our five. She is our youngest. She is five. So the whole imagination thing is that door is wide open.
Yes. Yes. And again, I'm pretty passionate about trying to help the world understand that all of our imaginations are active. But the way that she's engaging with hers right now is different. And yet that is the portal through which I feel like you and I are getting the closest glimpses into who she really is as a five-year-old little girl and who she's really going to be as she starts to grow up, right? Because we'll be watching her and there's just this, like, she just goes there. And sometimes she doesn't even realize she's being watched. But that originality is fully on display.
Yeah, and when you talk about Jillian and how she takes someone who just has a very distinctive skill set, but may not understand how to package that in a really special way, like Cirque is so good at doing. Milo is that same thing. Recently, she has this great love for music. She has this great love for dance. If you were to spend any amount of time in our house, you would, one, hear her singing from somewhere, and two, she would eventually just appear in some outfit and she would dance her way through the room and then just leave. So she got invited by someone at school, a coach at school invited her into a cheernastics program. It was not on her radar. And that just that single invitation for her opened up a world of possibility where she went, oh, I can do this. Oh, there is a place for me to both embrace this musical side and embrace my love for being in front of people and this joy of performance. And I can leverage it with someone who actually believes that I'm capable of this. Now we see her. We'll be watching a movie and she is practicing her back bends and she is stretching actively because at some point she knows in the movie there's going to be a song and dance part and she is going to be ready. But it's that same idea of she got invited into something. She got picked and chosen for a skill set that someone saw in her, that singing, that dancing, that joy. And they went, oh man, you would be great at this. And she went, me? I would be great at that. You're right. I would be great at that. And at five, she's able to go, yeah, of course I'm good at this.
Yes.
Our eight-year-old doesn't see that same thing. She gets invited to something and she feels like she doesn't belong. And so the gap between a five-year-old and an eight-year-old, like that, just that's 3 years in, I believe this is possible and I can't see it.
Yeah. I think the practical takeaway here for all of us, and you might have to contextualize this to your current objectives. I don't know what you're trying to pursue in your life, whether it's trying to build some deeper friendships and relationships, or maybe I'm a leader trying to build, you know, a stronger, more connected team so we can accomplish more within an organization. Maybe you're a business owner, maybe you're a parent and you're thinking about it through that lens like Kate and I are talking right now. But if Jillian is right, and I believe she is, in saying that passion and originality are two things that you can see even before skill has caught up, then we have to create environments where someone is given the opportunity to put their passion and originality on display so that we can see skills that haven't had a chance to catch up yet, right? When I think about this from a leadership perspective, gosh, the ramifications are huge, right? There are people with unfulfilled potential on our teams that the skills just haven't caught up yet, but we can't see that potential for that skill. We're not even aware that the skill hasn't caught up because we've not done anything to create an environment where their passion and originality can be put on display. And maybe one of the best ways to do that is to connect this with what we were previously talking about, the idea of play, right? When we give people the opportunity to play in whatever type of exercise, now all of a sudden that passion and originality has a chance to show up in a way that might be a little bit more obvious to us. So maybe some practical stuff that we can all work on and get better at.
Yeah, practically for me, this has showed up just in the story community. I have been a behind the scenes person my whole life. I'm very comfortable there. I'm an introvert. It's a great place for me. But I have never stopped being passionate about other people's passion. And I didn't have this skill set. I didn't have the confidence. I hadn't been invited into places where I felt like I belonged there. Jillian was actually someone, she still does this with us. Hey, is Kate going to be on this call? Because she brings this different level. So even being invited or encouraged to enter into a space where the skill may not be there entirely for me, but I can learn it and encouraged to learn it has helped me find some of that voice, has helped me find places where I can be more comfortable. And that is both leadership on your part, but leadership on Jillian's part, leadership from anybody who has entered this atmosphere who has said, gosh, won't you come along on this? What do you have to say? And from a leadership perspective, how many people do you have on your team or in your ecosystem that haven't been given that opportunity because the person who is loudest or the person who has the most accolades, the MBAs, the PhDs, they are by default given those opportunities first instead of recognizing, gosh, you know what? This person has that thing, that spark that cannot be, I don't want to say purchased, but it can't be purchased with a degree.
Yeah,
it's just innately inside of them. And I think there is so much room for leaders to cultivate and raise up new leaders by recognizing the sparks before they look at the resume.
Yep. Agreed. And again, just to make this relevant to everybody, you don't have to be a leader of a team at work. And you don't have to be a parent of a bunch of kiddos at home. But if you care about learning to see potential in others and in yourself that you currently do not see, we have to create opportunities for that potential to reveal itself. And that's what we're really talking about right now. So don't miss that. Another one of those themes that sort of emerged from this conversation was the relationship between what Jillian called inner depth and outer expression. She was talking about how she cultivates this really deep inner life through all these different practices that she's involved in, whether it's play or meditation, and how it allow those two things to be tied together. One of her direct quotes was that the deeper, the more playful, and how those two for her are two sides of her experience of being human. And that when she does her deepening, her appetite for that naturally moves out. She has a really easy sense of what's right for her and what's not. And I think that comes back to just the idea of growing in self-awareness, what I would call growing in narrative intelligence. Jillian has a very high degree of narrative intelligence. She's very aware of the stories that she's telling herself, what narratives have been formed that those stories are connected to, and the narratives that she is perceiving in others by way of both the stories they are telling her and the behavior that they're exhibiting. And so much of that comes back to her ability to be still, practice an element of mindfulness, and even the literal form of mindfulness that we refer to as meditation. She's one of my only friends that can disappear for like 30 days and go off to some silent meditation retreat. And I know, oh, she's fine. Like nothing bad happened to her. She's probably just
thriving.
While not talking and just being mindful instead.
I envy that sometimes.
I think if I can be so bold, I think this is something that we both struggle with. I was going to say this is something that I definitely struggle with, but you and I are not that great at sitting still, being mindful, and just simply meditating.
Oh gosh, no, I am the actual worst. We just had this conversation yesterday about, I literally had surgery on Monday and on Tuesday I was beside myself just having to sit. I couldn't handle it. And I got up and moved around, which then caused a bunch of problems. And you were like, can you just sit? And I was like, no, I can't.
Yeah.
It's a thing. We struggle with, for me, that struggle comes with, if I am forced to sit and be with my own thoughts, oh good Lord. I don't need that. Nope. No, I don't want that because then I'll have to think about all the things I don't want to think about, or I don't have to, you know, I don't want to ruminate on all of these things that I have shoved down deep and deep and deep. Someone who practices meditation never allows those things to sit very deep. They bring them up to the surface and they deal with them and move on, which probably makes them much more aware and less complicated people.
Yeah. Yes. Agreed. I, I, I remember when I first started a meditation practice, this must have been, gosh, it was whenever we were in that some of that first office space we bought that commercial building in East Nashville.
Oh, yeah. I remember that.
Doesn't matter. It's irrelevant to everyone listening in. But I remember being in that new office space and that there was this chair in my office and I was like, that's going to be my meditation chair. And I got the Calm app or Headspace that I think had come out around the same time. And I was like, Okay, I'm going to meditate. And I remember talking to someone around that same time who was a meditation teacher. And he's like, oh, you've been meditating? And I was like, yeah, dude, everyone was right. I'm so much more productive after I meditate. And it's like, oh, you're missing the point there, buddy. I was like, I was using meditation as a life hack for productivity.
Yeah, because you're getting everything out.
Yeah. And don't get me wrong. Like, it is okay to acknowledge, yeah, we are more productive and better human beings in general, capable of all sorts of good things when we have a stronger meditation practice. But for Jillian, that's not what it's about. It's about, as she was talking about, it's this inner depth that flows into a greater outer expression. She has an ease associated with figuring out what's right for her because she is very comfortable with herself and her own thoughts. And I think that's both different and deeper than liking ourselves or loving ourselves, which feels like a theme that the world's obsessed with talking about.
No, she's unburdened herself.
Yes.
She's unburdened herself from her own insecurities. She is bringing things to the surface and dealing with them and thinking about them and spending time with them where the rest of us just don't. We just avoid it.
Yeah.
So her ability to just lean in is insane.
Agreed. And which is also a good transition to one of those other themes, that fourth theme that I felt like emerged, and also the practical application of maybe the byproducts of being able to do that is that if we can all get better at some sort of mindfulness practice, we can get to what she talked about, which was nothing new in terms of conversations we're having on a regular basis. She just validated in a special way. And that is changing personal narratives so that we can shift our own realities. In our conversation, we got into the power that is contained in the stories we tell ourselves. But I think from her context, you know, when she's talking about meditation, it's this increasing awareness and agency over the ability to shape our inner experience and how that's connected to our outer reality. It just, on a practical level, it comes down to be able to catch those narratives, right? So if we're in a narrative that's not serving us well, or that's unhealthy, or that's broken, or it's limiting some of our beliefs or options, going back to us talking about how she is so expansive and she makes her vision clear, right? I think it's because her high narrative intelligence, she's able to catch limiting narratives and choose wonder instead. Her agency is higher because of her self-awareness. One of the things that she said that I love, she said, when you can change the perception, it doesn't like just whoosh, like a fairy dust comes along or a magic wand changes everything. It's just that you begin to see things that you couldn't see before that might be able to facilitate that story changing for you. So that's really cool. So while changing personal narratives and the stories we tell ourselves is not a new topic for us, it's something I've been talking about for years. Her ability to connect that stillness practice, that meditation practice, that mindfulness work to that is something that I probably don't talk about often enough.
That's a thing. I think most people don't talk about it often enough.
Yeah.
We avoid discomfort because the idea of changing our personal narrative is even an uncomfortable thing. Because it implies that our narrative might be a little bit broken. And it implies that we might not be seeing the whole picture. And that can be terrifying for people.
Is this you publicly committing to you and I developing a meditation practice?
No, not at all. But
I can't remember if this was in the interview or not, but Jillian did say one thing she talked to me about once was how her mentors, which are a married couple, I won't name them in case this is private information, but they have been meditating together. I don't remember the time, but it was like an extraordinary amount of time, like an hour. They've been meditating together for a full hour for like 30 something years or something like that. Maybe you and I need to start doing that.
For the sake of this conversation and for my love of Jillian, sure. What I would love is for our kids to not necessarily enter into hardcore meditation, but to create space, and we've seen this recently in them, to create space where they are not, where they're forced to be bored.
Yeah.
When they are forced to be bored, that's kind of a form of meditation for them because they have nothing at their disposal except their own mind, their own creativity. And the things that come out of that boredom are really quite amazing. They create substantial worlds that suddenly just come out of nothing. Yeah. They go from, gosh, I'm so bored. This is so dumb. Why can't I just fill in the blank, watch what show? And then it's every stuffed animal and all of the blankets in the house are suddenly in the living room and they have created a castle and the dragon is coming. Yeah. And can we film it and put it on YouTube? So it's just this, that's that innate thing that Jillian helps unlock in people. Yeah. Is when you take away all of the extemporaneous things, what you're left with is the core of who you are. And it's the things that get you excited. It's the things that you can't not do. And in play, in this, when you let go, look at what amazingness sits just under the surface that you don't even give room or credence to because it's so much easier to be distracted. And I think we're in a season of wanting to have less distraction as a family, less distraction together, less distraction with our kids, because, you know, for the sake of this, some of the stuff that we are considering in our life, you know, when I go, hey, we should just move to France, and I remember your response was, but will there be internet? And my response back was, but what if there isn't?
Yes.
And the question that's family
and like, can I still work?
No, totally. And I understand that. But the question that was followed was a legitimate in my head. I went, but what if there isn't? Because what would be possible? Mm-hmm. What if we stopped being so dependent on our phones, on our work, on the internet, on the television? And I know this stuff comes up all the time in, you know, in culture. But legitimately, what would happen to our kids? Would they experience less of a life or more of a life? Probably more, because I know what they're capable of.
So good.
Would I experience less of a life or more of a life? To be brutally honest, more, because I wouldn't be settling for things that really don't matter. And at 40, almost 41, I don't want to settle anymore. And I don't like feeling like the world is choosing on my behalf, because the world sucks at choosing on my behalf. Hmm. So I don't like that anymore.
Yeah, I don't like the sound of that either.
So not without danger, we live our life.
Not without danger. A conversation for another episode, perhaps. Because one of the things you're talking about, I think, really aligns with, you know, one of those, gosh, if I had to pick a final theme, there were so many themes in this conversation and things to pull out. But kind of in closing, one of those themes that I think it's important to hit here is just this idea of trusting the journey instead of the destination. It's interesting because when it comes to curiosity specifically, which again, I think is just wonder in action, people are going to hear me say that a lot on a podcast about wonder. But if curiosity is wonder in action, some of the coolest research that's ever been done on curiosity is a study. It's one of my favorite studies where they recognized that there is a neural cocktail, so to speak, of brain chemicals that are associated with acts of high innovation and creative thinking. And that when it comes to curiosity, curiosity is associated with that. But genuine curiosity, where that brain chemical cocktail exists, is the type of curiosity where we're willing to go on a journey without like an insistent idea of the answer we're looking for, but more where we're willing just to go and be curious about what we might discover along the way. The type of curiosity, I don't even know if it's a type of curiosity. I almost think of it as like a fake curiosity or a faux curiosity where someone's going, I just want to know the answer, right? And there's nothing wrong with seeking to understand. I think that was one of, I need to look it up to get it right.
No, that's like peeking on the last page of the book.
But it's like, that's like a Neil Armstrong quote where it's like, you know, curiosity is the basis for man's desire to understand. And I'm like, I get that. We are driven to understand, and there's nothing wrong with that. But I think the kind of curiosity that drives us to want to understand and go explore the expansiveness of the universe is different than what people think of as curiosity when they're like, how'd you do that magic trick? Like, I didn't even know how you did that. Can you just tell me the answer? And I'm like, no. And they're like, why not? And I'm like, it's not even just that I don't want you to know the secret. That's what everyone assumes. It's that me alleviating the tension that you feel right now, just because you don't know the answer, because that makes you feel uncomfortable, that is not a gift to you. And you think you want to know, but what I'm really taking away is this really cool emotional and intellectual journey that you get invited into mystery. And I don't want to rob you of that experience because it's incredibly beautiful. And so again, if you want that neural cocktail that's associated with innovation and creativity and a whole bunch of other really beautiful things, you've got to be willing to go on the journey and trust the journey and not be like, I just want to know all about all the destinations. Or as you said, I love that, looking at the last page of the book.
Yeah, because it's been written. So we should, you know, I just want to look. I just want to make sure that the heroine doesn't die. You know, I just want to make sure. That's just me protecting myself. But I think the bigger picture here is, as kids, we are taught to color within the lines, to not think creatively, to not ask a lot of questions. And the chicken can't be blue. It has to be yellow. It has to be red. The pig is always pink. It is never purple. We can't have trees that are upside down. They have to be right side up. And so we are trained early on that there is a system to the way that things are done. There is a system to life. And I think innately we are always deeply aware of other people who have broken free. And we see it and we go, oh man, that would be awesome. Oh yeah, you see those people who took a trip around the world with their kids in a boat? Man, wouldn't that be awesome? But we cannot subscribe that to our own existence and our own life because we are so stuck on coloring inside the lines and making sure that we don't deviate from the plan. And that plan was dictated by somebody else 1,000 years ago, it's not even applicable anymore. Mm-hmm. And so I've written some stuff recently just about when you ask big questions, expect big answers. When you pose the what ifs, be prepared for big possibility. Mm-hmm. And you don't have to color inside the line. The pig can be purple. We get to choose those things. And I know for you and me, especially with this journey that our kids are on, and the way that, you know, this entire conversation with Jillian goes, the way that we are setting the stage and creating a life where possibility doesn't stop, where wonder never ceases, where our girls can go, are mermaids real? And we go, I don't know, we've never seen them. To maintain that sense of anything is possible is so important to us. Hell, you know, whether or not it's healthy, I don't know. But we're maintaining something for them that says, gosh, anything could be possible if I believe that it is so. Yeah. And opening up those doors, I hope more and more people open up those doors, because what does the future look like with a whole generation of youth, of kids who grow up to be leaders, who believe both anything is possible and you don't have to color inside the lines?
Yeah. Yeah. Jillian is extraordinary at this, and it does feel like it was a major theme, which is why I wanted to end on it. But just that we've got to get curious enough to know, as cliche as it sounds, it really is the journey and not the destination. And we could probably spend a whole episode getting into like some faith and spirituality type conversations.
Sure. Or
like, why does it make it easier to trust the unfolding of one's path? But yet the truth here is that when we become comfortable trusting the unfolding of the path, really leaning into the journey, soaking up all the magic along the way, even when it defies our expectations or our assumptions about what we thought it was supposed to look like, or even when it feels uncomfortable, that learning to accept what it is while still moving towards desired change, that is a skill, I guess. I don't know if that's the right word for it, but that's a skill that I regularly experience in people that I would say are living extraordinary, magical wow level lives. And so if we want to live wow level lives, and if you don't, why are you listening to this podcast? You clicked the wrong button. But for those of us who want to live wow level lives, it's something that we have to get better at, is that when things don't go our way, when the journey doesn't feel like it's aligning with what our expectations were of what it was supposed to be, there's a comfort level there with just letting the story unfold and being willing to be pleasantly surprised by all the twists and the turns. And gosh, if we can do that, what a beautiful way to live. Now we're rarely disappointed. And that doesn't mean, again, like Jillian talked about, it doesn't mean not pursuing desired change, right? Like when the twists and turns happen, or we get stuck halfway up the mountain and we're just like, okay, I didn't expect to sprain my ankle. It's not about not being disappointed by it. It's not like we're not allowed to pause and go, gosh, this is not how I would have written this part of my story. But to pause and go, what does this make possible? Or maybe it's a gift, or gosh, maybe now that I have to sit down on this rock for a little while, I didn't notice these flowers that I could stop and look at. Or gosh, I would have missed this entire view because I was so focused on doing the journey the way I thought it was and trying to march up the mountain. I just think we're going to miss some beauty and some magic along the way unless we get comfortable with that. So I think it's something that we all need to get better at.
Completely agree with you. And to anyone who is listening who thinks, oh, this isn't for me, or possibility I'm past that point, or I can't have that, re-listen to the episode, because anything is possible. And it sounds cliche, but it's not. And choosing your life at 20 years old, at 40 years old, at 70 years old. How many people have gone back to college at 80? So many, because they went, gosh, I just didn't do that thing I really wanted to do. And it's not impossible to do it. So this applies to everybody. You can choose, and you can have a life filled with wonder, and it's not just meant for somebody else. It's meant for anyone who chooses it.
Yes. And again, if you need a little help learning to believe that or to choose some of those new beliefs, beliefs are anchored in narrative. Narrative is what drives all of our beliefs and behavior. And if you're just like, well, how do I change narratives? There's a whole body of work that's out there and available to you that talks about just that. Whether you want to increase your narrative intelligence, learn to understand the story operating system, which I think is the story OS, as we call it. It's the operating system of the human brain. Jump over to our other podcast, the Story OS podcast, or join us for the upcoming Story Summit that's happening next month on April 5th. So depending on when you're listening to this, there's all sorts of resources for you. Right now, you can find them all at storygatherings.com. So if that's something that you need as a resource, go check that out. But just want to say in closing, thanks again to Jillian for being amazing. Thanks to you, Kate, for joining me again. I love these little afterglow episodes because I'm so annoyed sometimes by other podcasts that I love because they have this amazing conversation with this incredible guest.
And then it's over.
My brain is like, okay, oh, that's what they meant. And I'm like trying to process and unpack these deep conversations. It's like we're on to the next guest and we're on to the next conversation and the next theme. And I just want it to linger. I want there to be this afterglow. And I think these episodes are making it possible. So for those who are listening in, if you're enjoying that, please let us know. If you're not enjoying that, please let us know.
Let us know.
Do I want you to email us? Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
Of course.
Look, we're not doing this for ourselves. Oh, maybe a little bit. Maybe a little bit we're doing this because it's a part of our own growth. And it gives us a chance to sit down and have conversations, very meaningful conversations with a lot of cool people. So we get to learn along the way. So while we also get to benefit, like we're doing this for you guys. And so if there's something about this podcast that's resonating with you, rate or review it so others can discover it. If there's something that you like that you want us to do more of, email me and tell us so we can continue to do more of that to serve you well. If there's something that you don't like, you're like, I hate this whole like curiosity episode thing that you do where you just ask us a bunch of questions to try to prime us for it. Tell us about that. We want to know what you're liking and not liking. Because at the end of the day, if this isn't serving you well, like we'd rather focus on something that can. So our personal email address, harris@astoria.com, just istoria.com, harris@astoria.com. Astoria is our company. It's just ancient Greek for the word story. Everything we do is centered around the power that story has to shape the future. Kate is obviously just kate@astoria.com if you want to send her a note, but we'd love to hear from you. All right, before we wrap this one up, Kate, any final words, anything you want to share?
No, I just, again, I love these conversations. Jillian is truly brilliant and gifted at what she does. And these specific episodes are just really cool because you get an opportunity to ask really big questions around the future and what's possible. And I know that's, you know, you and I are in that zone, and we are asking a lot of really big questions always because of how we're raising our kids and how we're projecting into the next generation, wanting to make sure that the future for our children is better.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't even know how else to say it. I just want it to be better. I want them to experience better, to have opportunities for better, and to believe that anything that they choose is possible. And it sounds cliche, but it is so true. They should have the world at their fingertips. And right. Everyone listening should have the world at their fingertips as well.
Yeah, I want it too. I want it for them. I want it for all of you listening in. And I'm so glad you joined us. Thanks for joining us for this episode of the Wild Level Life podcast. Join us next week. Dare I say next week? We are on the track back to health, and we've got some amazing conversations already recorded in the pipeline. So we should be back on schedule. Thank you for your grace and continuing to listen. And again, thank you so much genuinely for taking the time to drop in those ratings and reviews. They really do make a bigger difference than you realize in helping other people discover this podcast. So thanks to all who have already done that. If there's anything that you heard that was helpful, like, share, subscribe if you haven't already, all the things. We want to get this message out there resonating with others in the same way that it resonated with you. So thanks for listening, and we will talk to you again very soon.